Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah amma ba'd. Respected elders and brothers, in one hadith sharif which is narrated by many sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in various books of hadith, on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ascending the minbar. And when he took the first step onto the minbar, then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ameen. And when he ascended the second step, again the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard him sing, Ameen. And when he ascended the third step, then again the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard him sing, Ameen. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had finished his sermon and now descended from the minbar. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked him that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we have seen you doing something which we never saw you doing before. When you ascended the first step, you said Ameen, the second step Ameen, the third step Ameen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that when I ascended the first step, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam appeared before me and he told me, woe to that person. Destroyed is that person. May that person be deprived of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which person? That person who the month of Ramadan comes and the person still acts recklessly, he acts carelessly, and during the month of Ramadan he fails to secure the maghfirat, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made this dua and I said Ameen. I went up the second step. Jibreel now told me that woe to that person, destruction to that person, cursed is that person who your name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mentioned in front of him and the person fails to send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us read durood sharif one time, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa sahabi wa barik wa sallam. So I said Ameen to that dua. And then when I went up to the third step, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam said, woe to that person, cursed is that person, destroyed is that person, who finds either both his parents or one of his parents in old age, and through failure to serve them, does not acquire the jannat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, Ameen. Now my dear brothers, we have to analyze this. Who is making the dua? Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of all of mankind, all of creation, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam is the leader of all of the angels. Ar-Ruhul Ameen. Allah Ta'ala calls him in the Quran, the trustworthy spirit, the trustworthy angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That angel who was entrusted with the duty of bringing wahi from the skies to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angels, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. Not to the blink of an eye do they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask our pious to make dua for us. Why? Because of their abstaining from sins, they become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, very quickly, their duas are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we're talking about an angel who never disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. He is making the dua. And who is saying Ameen to the dua? Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin. Habibullah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is saying Ameen. So of course this dua, and of course the Ameen of this person will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very, very careful, very, very mindful in regards to these three aspects. And my dear brothers, why are these people cursed? The people who fail to do these three things, why are they cursed? Because for amongst the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's bounties upon us, these are three of the greatest ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. Easy ways to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min in his life, he's trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything in our lives, we're looking for a shortcut. We're looking to get the task done easily. This is an easy way, three easy ways to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah has given you an easy opportunity, an easy way to get close to him, and now you are unmindful, you don't respect these things, you do not value these things, cherish these things, then of course you will be blameworthy and worthy of the curses of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, to which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Ameen to. These three things, my dear brothers. The first thing is that person who the month of Ramadan comes and the person fails to secure the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, I do not think I or many of us do really appreciate this month of Ramadan, this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This month of the maghfirat, the month of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not appreciate, we do not understand the value of this month. For 11 months of the year, we are in oblivion of Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oblivious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, totally unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month in and month out, we are continuing in sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala annually, every year gives us this opportunity to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refocus, to realign, and once again become mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month, a person goes through rigorous spiritual exercises. Rigorous spiritual exercises. A person becomes so mindful that a person after making wudu, the few drops of water in his mouth, which normally throughout the year a person doesn't even think twice about it. Now even a person, let alone haram, let alone sin, person becomes so mindful that even those drops of water, I'm fasting, they are not allowed to go down my throat. And a person goes and spits out a drop of water. That's how mindful a person becomes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. So Allah has given us this opportunity to turn back to Him, to realign, to refocus, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person fails to cash in on this opportunity, then a person is worthy of the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So my dear, but Allah has given us this opportunity, this month of Ramadan, to take maximum benefit, to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a person being unmindful in this month. It's like a person who is dying of thirst, and there's torrential rain that is falling from the sky. The person has the bucket. All he has to do is just merely turn his bucket right side up. But the person still keeps his bucket upside down. Then of course that person is a fool. And of course that person is blameworthy. Likewise in this month when Allah Ta'ala's mercy is raining down upon us. Allah's maghfirat, Allah's mercy, Allah's kindness is raining down upon us. A little effort from our side will secure the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, we have to maximize the benefits of this month. And how does a person take maximum benefits from the month of Ramadan? We read about the pious of the past, how they will make 60 khatams, 100 khatams in the month of Ramadan. They will stand the entire night in salah, every night in Ramadan, the entire night spend it in salah. The people fasting the entire day with minimal sahri and minimal iftar. But we, my dear brothers, we have to accept and concede that we will never reach their rank. We are very, very weak. We are not built like those people. We are not like those people. We are very, very weak. Illa mashallah. There are those few. But for the vast majority, we are not like them. So what we have to do, my dear brothers, is get the basics right. In anything a person is doing, for him to be successful in that thing, he first has to get the basics right. Any sporting team, for them to be accomplished and to be successful, they have to get the basics right. A person is writing a higher grade, a matric algebra paper. Intricate sums have been put before him. But this person is still grappling with the simple subtraction and subtraction and addition and multiplication, the rest of it. Then how will the person ever do well in this paper? So likewise, my dear brothers, for us to accomplish and get full benefit from this month, we have to do the basics right. And what are the basics? Number one is that a person has to approach the month of Ramadan with the right mindset. Approach the month of Ramadan with the right mindset. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, one of the biggest downfalls of the ummah today is that we have become a ritualistic ummah. We do everything as a mere ritual, as a task. I have to tick that box. So we go about our acts of worship, be it our fasting, our taraweeh, or all acts of worship. We go about it because it's a task, it's a burden. It has to be done. And yes, undoubtedly we have to do it. We have to read salah. We have to fast. We have to read taraweeh. These things we have to do. But how do we do it? What kind of mindset do we do it? How do we approach it? Do we approach it because it's a task? It's a duty? It's some sort of burden which I have to accomplish? That is why I'm doing it? Or do we do it because This is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I love my Allah. Allah has been so kind to me. Allah has given me so much. The least I can do out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do these acts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a person who works at a certain place, at a certain business premises. And the rules of that premises, of that business, is that no smoking is allowed on this premises. So that person, during those working hours, will stay away from smoking. Not because he wants to, or he loves to. Rather, the craving is there. But he's staying away because I have to. That person, as soon as the working hours are over, the person, as soon as his foot steps out of the premises, the first thing the person will do will reach for his pocket, pull out his cigarette and light his cigarette. That is why we find so many people, my dear brothers, as soon as the crescent of Shawwal is sighted, the person fasted the entire month. He read all his salah. He read tahajjud salah. He made khatams in the month. Quran upon Quran he read. But as soon as the crescent of Shawwal is sighted, the person goes back to his old way of life. Why? Because the task is now over. The burden is now over. Now I can go back to my way of life. And Allah save us, my dear brothers. Sometimes that person at that work premises, the craving is too much. So he slips out of the premises during working hours to go have a cigarette. Some of us, Allah save us, during the month of Ramadan, after 10 days, now this task has become too much for me. It's too difficult for me, too much of a burden for me. So the person during the month of Ramadan as well, he will go on sinning. May Allah save us, my dear brothers. But rather the month of Ramadan is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's kindness upon us. Let us with full love, with full spirit, heart, mind and soul, keep our fast. Read the Salatul Taraweeh. Read or make our tilawat of Quran. One is a person who is looking after the child because she's an employed nanny to look after the child. So that woman will do her task from in her working hours. And everything the child does, she will moan and groan about it. If the child has to miss itself, then that will be a big arduous task for her to do. And one is the mother looking after the child. The mother who loves and cares for the child. No matter what time of the day it is, morning or evening, the mother can be extremely tired in the middle of the night and the child cries. The mother will go and pick up the child and out of love of the child, give the child a kiss, embrace the child, hug the child. Why? Because she loves the child. Not because it's a task, not because it's a burden, but I love this child. So one is a person fasting because it's a burden, a task. And one is a person who's fasting because I love my Allah. I love the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives me ecstasy to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing and the fundamental thing is to approach the month of Ramadan with the right mindset. The second thing, my dear, but the second basic of the month of Ramadan is to keep the month, the fast clean. To keep the fast clean. What do I mean? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kam min sa'imin laysa lahu min qiyamihi illa dhama'u." That many people will fast the month of Ramadan, but they will get nothing out of fasting except thirst. Why? Because during the day while fasting, the person will do those things which are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yes, the person's fasting, the obligation of fasting will be fulfilled. But the person will not get any reward, or he will get a decreased reward for that fast. Why? Because he does certain things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, be very, very careful. A person who's hired to put up a building for somebody, and he's promised that upon putting up this building, you will get a handsome repayment. So the person invests time, invests capital, invests resources in putting up that building. Very, very beautiful structure he puts up. And then the person who employed him comes and he tells him, this is not what I asked you to build. Or there's flaws in flaws and defects in whatever you built. And I will not be paying you. I will not be paying you for the job that you have done. Likewise, a person will fast, he'll go through the hunger, the thirst, the heat of the day. The person's out the entire day working. He gets hungry, he gets thirsty. And the person does things which are undesirable. He commits sin during that fast. So the entire, all that thirst and all that hunger and all that tiredness will go down the drain. Why? Because the person was not keeping his fast clean. So the second thing, my dear brothers, keep our fast clean. Stay away from those things which are undesirable. And as our Shaykh, Daum Barakatuh, Muhammad Maqtah Sahib says, the main two culprits for us to lose the reward of our fast is the eyes and the tongue. Very few people, may Allah save us, but very few, even a person has the habit of drinking or drugs or zina. Very, very few people in the month of Ramadan will still continue to go on this. Although there will be those who will. But many people will put a stop to this habit during the month of Ramadan. But many of us, without even realizing, we will lose the reward of fasting merely because the abuse of the eyes and the abuse of the tongue. And the way to protect the eyes, my dear brothers, is to stay away from those things and those places which will cause us to abuse our eyes. So during the month of Ramadan, yes, there will be times you'll need to go to the supermarket. You may need to go to the shopping mall. We'll have to go to our businesses. That's there. But unnecessarily going to places where we can abuse our eyes, where people, Muslims in Ramadan, to pass the hours, they go mall trolling, walking around the mall, not with the objective of doing any serious buying, but just merely to pass the time. And thereby so much abuse of the eyes takes place. And the second thing, my dear brother, is the abuse of the tongue. Making ghibat, speaking ill of person. Unfortunately, ghibat has become a sin. Once a person commits zina, he knows he has done wrong, and he feels ashamed of it. A person is drinking, he knows he's doing wrong, and he feels ashamed of it. But day in and day out, how much of the ghibat? All of us, including myself, all of us involved in this year. Illa mashallah, except a few. But all of us involved, and we do not even realize that we are committing the sin. And my dear brothers, the one thing that combines both the sins, the sin of the eyes and the tongue, and what we see, is the cell phone. A person idle chatting on the phone, is just like abusing the tongue. And idle scrolling and surfing the net, surfing the internet, definitely a person's eyes will fall on things. Will end up getting involved in things he's not supposed to be looking, or things he's not supposed to be speaking about, and thereby diminishing or causing him to totally lose the reward of his fasting. So be very, very careful about these things. So the second thing, my dear brothers, the second basic of the month of Ramadan is to keep the fast clean. The third thing, my dear brothers, our salah. Salah is obligation throughout the year, throughout our lives, from the time a person becomes baligh right until the time the person passes away. But for a person to get the full reward of Ramadan, he has to be extra particular about his salah. Make it a point that all our salat are read in the masjid, in the masjid in jamaat salah. This is the month when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who performs one fard action in the month of Ramadan, then his reward is multiplied 70 times. People rush to the certain store is having double points. E-box is giving double points. U-box is giving double points. Allah said in this month, not double points, not triple points, not quadruple points, 70 times for each fard act you do, you get 70 times the reward. Again, our mindset is right, if you appreciate all of this, then a person will value it and make it a point to read his fard salah. And my dear brothers, this Taraweeh Salah, what a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today when around the world the masajid are closed, even in Haramain Sharifain, those who want to read the full quota of Taraweeh Salah are not getting the opportunity. So many places around the world where people do not get the opportunity to listen to the full tilawat of Quran Sharif in Taraweeh Salah. Allah has bestowed this mercy upon us of the ni'mat of Taraweeh, where we get to stand in the full complement of 20 rakats of Taraweeh to listen to the entire Quran being recited. What a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine, my dear brothers, at that period of Isha time, from 7 o'clock onwards for the next 1.5-2 hours, just let alone the whole country, just our surrounding areas here, how much of Quran is being recited? Some people in ruku glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another jamaat in sajda glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another jamaat in qawma glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people reading about the ayat of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us appreciate this ni'mat. Today even in Haramain Sharifain, they're not getting the opportunity to read the full quota of Taraweeh Salah. And the way the thing is again, they probably won't even complete the full complete Quran in the month of Ramadan in Taraweeh Salah. Allah's ni'mat upon us, my dear brothers. Let us value this ni'mat. Last Ramadan we saw how quickly Allah can snatch away this ni'mat from us. How very quickly Allah can snatch away this ni'mat. Wallahi, people cried to me and to many ulama, they cried that, Mulana, we want to read Taraweeh Salah. For the last 20, 30 years of my life, I never missed a single rakat of Taraweeh. I never missed a single ayat of the Quran. And now just like that, the entire month I won't hear the Quran being recited. Appreciate this ni'mat, my dear brothers. If you do not appreciate this ni'mat, And those of you sitting here, my dear brothers, I assume you are the same ones who are here for the entire complement of Taraweeh Salah. So let us take the message to those out there. Speak to people, my dear brothers. Give them da'wah towards the Taraweeh Salah, and you'll be surprised. People just need a small tap on the back. People just need a small kind word to them, and how quickly they will come to the masjid. So my dear brothers, this entire Taraweeh, and Allah's Nabi has told us in the month of Ramadan, one non-fard act, one sunnat act, one nafil act done in the month of Ramadan, a person gets the reward of doing a fard act. It's like a person who is asked to pay an economy fare on an aeroplane. Economy fare. He pays the economy fare, but he gets upgraded to first class. A person buys, he pays for an entry-level motor vehicle, and he gets the top-of-the-range motor vehicle. One nafil act done in this month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us that a person will get the reward of a fard. So my dear brothers, be very, very particular about our salah in our life, and especially in the month of Ramadan. The third thing, my dear brothers, read as much Quran as we can in the month of Ramadan. We're not saying it must be 20 khatams or 30 khatams, but rather, as much as we can. Aim for at least one khatam in the month of Ramadan, as our ulama have advised us. But as much Quran as we can read during the month of Ramadan. There is a very strong link between the month of Ramadan and the Quran. There is, amongst all the months of the year, Allah Ta'ala chose to send down initial wahi of Quran during the month of Ramadan. So read as much Quran as we can. And you will see the barakat of the Quran. Just before the month of Ramadan, he mentioned to us that when he was in Jalalabad, in the madrasa of Haji Mawlana Masjid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, then Haji had asked him to perform the full 20 rakats in the madrasa masjid. Mawlana has mentioned to us that this is not a small task, because behind you are only ulama behind you. So it's not an easy task. So Mawlana said when he was entrusted to do this year, he forgot his sleep, he forgot his sehri, he forgot his iftar, entire day in Quran. And he said he had such a feeling at that time. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with very, very wonderful dreams during that time, only because of excessive tilawat of Quran during the month of Ramadan. Yes, my dear brothers, these things are not maqsood. We don't read Quran because we want to see dreams, but as encouragement. Allah Ta'ala sometimes shows you this. So during the month of Ramadan, as much tilawat of Quran as we can make tilawat of Quran. The next thing, my dear brothers, is that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that in this month, there are four things we should do abundantly. One is to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. Secondly is to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly is to ask Allah for Jannah. And fourthly, to ask Allah ta'ala to save us in the fire of Jahannam. So ulama have taught us, or have put it for us in a dua, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'alullah al-jannah, wa'udhu billahi minan nar. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'alullah al-jannah, wa'udhu billahi minan nar. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'alullah al-jannah, wa'udhu billahi minan nar. So during the moments of the day, if you're hafiz of Quran, then recite Quran. But those of us who are not hafiz of the Quran, our free moments, when we get the opportunity, keep our tongues moist and keep our mouths fragrant with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last way to get maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers, is to make abundant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abundant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the current situation that we are going through. This period of history that we are going through, my dear brothers. This month of Ramadan is like a lifeline sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just at the right time Allah has sent this month to us, so that we can get our du'as answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us here has some difficulty. Each one of us here has some want, has some need. This is the time, the opportunity to get our needs fulfilled, to get our wants fulfilled, to get our difficulties removed. Make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take out time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially at the early part of the morning and the moment before iftar. That time, those times, Mubarak times, make a lot of dua for Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make a lot of dua for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah is going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of difficulty. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the month Allah has given us, my dear brothers, and this is the thing we should be doing during this month of Ramadan. So Jibreel Sallam told him, the first thing, told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, woe to that person who the month of Ramadan comes, and he fails to take this opportunity to secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. The second thing, woe to that person who the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned before him, and the person fails to send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Due to this hadith, many of the ulama say that every single time that the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioned, it is a duty upon the Muslim to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This again, my dear brothers, is a very, very easy way to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Durood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very easy way to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very, very powerful way to get across to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to all the other acts, Allah commanded us, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ establish salah. آتُ الزَّكَاةِ give zakah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ it is the duty of mankind to perform hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O people, Allah has ordained fasting for you. When it came to these acts, Allah ta'ala just commanded us to do it. But when it came to reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-nabi. O insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my malaika send salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muslim, O Ummati, join Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Join the malaika in sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi. So my dear brothers, durood sharif, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful way to get across to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallam mentioned a hadith sharif. Inna awla al-nasi bi yawm al-qiyamah. Verily, two meanings of the hadith. The person who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. One meaning. Second meaning, that person, the person who will be most worthy to my intercession on the day of Qiyamah, أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاتًا, is that person who recites the most durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that person who recites one time durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon that person. As Gangohi rahmatullah in his hanka, he would advise his mureedin every day 300 times to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, Ya Allah's Nabi, every day I take out a certain time to make special dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all my needs to get fulfilled, for all my worries to be removed, for all my sins to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that time that I make this special dua, how much of time should I dedicate to reciting salat upon you? Nabi Sallam said, do as you wish. So Allah's Nabi, I will dedicate 1/3 of that time to recite durood upon me. Allah's Nabi told him, if you do 1/3, it is very good, but if you do more, it will be better for you. So Allah's Nabi, in that case, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2/3 of that time. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, very good, but if you do more, it will be better for you. Said Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that case, that entire time, I will only dedicate it to reciting durood upon you. Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in that case, إِذَن تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُكْفَرْ ذَنْبُكْ. In that case, O Ubay, all your worries will be sorted out. All your worries will be sorted out. And all your sins will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulana Tutla sahab rahmatullah alayhi, many times at the end of the ijtima, he would say, that when I should drive, I should have many problems in my car, breakdowns, accident, whatever it may be. So I complained to my Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, about this problem of mine. So he advised me, every time you jump into your car, recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I made this my practice. Thereafter, let alone a collision, an accident or breakdown, I did not even have a puncture. I don't even have a puncture. So this is the power of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our muhsin. There is no human being who has sacrificed and has done more for us than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the least we can do is when the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken, we recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Failure to do so, and you are cursed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And ulama mentioned the easiest and the shortest durood is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us make it a habit, my dear brothers, that daily we take out some time to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very quickly, the last thing, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam ascended the third step. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam told him, woe to that person who finds either one or both of his parents, and through failure to serve them does not attain Jannah, the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, again, a very, very easy way For a person to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through a person serving his parents, being kind to his parents, being respectful towards his parents. A very, very simple way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah's Nabi, I intend to go out in jihad, to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jihad, one of the highest acts, perhaps the highest act, to a person lays down his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the first drop of the shaheed, and all his sins are forgiven. Allah's Nabi asked him, do you have any parents alive? He says, yes, both my parents alive. Allah's Nabi said, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ. O my sahabi, for you, your jihad is to serve your parents. Be good to your parents. My dear brothers, in Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In this ayat, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left no excuse for any person to be disrespectful to his parents. In this ayat, Allah is telling us, O you son, O you daughter, you cannot find any reason whatsoever to be disrespectful to your parents. In this ayat, Allah is telling us that if your parents force you to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akbarul kabair, the major sin, the biggest sin a person can ever commit is to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your parents ask you to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, you don't obey them. You don't obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But still this does not allow you to be disrespectful to your parents. So when your parents are asking you to commit the major sin, the biggest sin, and then you're not allowed to be disrespectful to your parents, so what other reason can there be for you to be disrespectful to your parents? So my dear brothers, our parents are our Jannat. Allah's Nabi mentioned that Jannat lies under the feet of your mother. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the pleasure of your father. If your father is happy with you, then Allah is happy with you. And the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in displeasure of your father. If your father is displeased with you, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you. So my dear brothers, we have to be very, very careful. Make those of us who parents are still living, understand the opportunity that Allah ta'ala has given us to attain Jannah. Understand the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is for a person to ask his parents for dua, and one is for a person to earn the du'as of his parents. Likewise, the ustad, any person, one is a person asks for du'as, and one is a person earns the du'as. There's a very, very big difference between the two. My respected grandmother, my nani, rahmatullah alayha, she passed away last Ramadan. She, her mother-in-law, of course, first, the relationship was a normal daughter-in-law and mother-in-law relationship. But she made so much khidmat of her mother-in-law. So much khidmat of her mother-in-law. At the ending of the life of her mother-in-law, she told her that, oh, you have made so much khidmat of me. She was making so much khidmat, more than even her children would make for her. My nani would make khidmat for her mother-in-law. At the end of her life, she said, please tell me what dua you want. What dua do you want? She's making dua, Allah give you a long life, Allah give you this. She says, oh, my mother-in-law, I have not visited Baytullah. Please make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me the opportunity to visit Baytullah, to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And her mother-in-law made this dua for her. My grandmother, at the ripe old age, maybe I think probably 70 plus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of her mother-in-law. Why? Because she didn't ask for duas. She earned the dua. She earned the dua. At the ripe old age of 70 years old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her, and alhamdulillah, was with her on that umrah as well. Allah ta'ala accepted her to go for umrah, to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time in her life. And Allah ta'ala even took her a few times after that, and Allah also took her for hajj. So one is, my dear brothers, we ask for du'as from our parents. But one is, make such khidmat of our parents. We are so good to our parents that the du'as don't flow from the tongues of our parents, but they flow from the hearts of our parents. That dua, my dear brothers, will take you very, very far. Not only in this life, but in the akhirat as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me and all of us obedient children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from falling under the curses of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, make us spend the month of Ramadan in the way we ought to be spending it. Allah Ta'ala make us value the ihsan, the kindness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that when every time the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taken, we decide to do it upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah make us value our parents. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.